I kissed a girl and I, I kissed the girl and I like it. The taste of her cherry chapstick. I kissed a girl just to try it. I hope my boyfriend, won't mind it. It felt so wrong, it felt so right. Don't mean it, don't mean I'm in love tonight. Is it correct?
Yeah, it's great.
Hold on. Moment of silence. Let's get serious here. I know we like to laugh, and you know, we like to talk about funny shit on the show, but Michael Jackson, the king of pop, is dead.
You know I'm dead. I'm dead. You know it.
Michael Jackson, the show-stopping singer whose best-selling albums, including Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad, an electrifying stage presence made him one of the most popular artists of all time, died Thursday, CNN has confirmed. He was 50. He collapsed at his residence in the Holmby Hills section of Los Angeles, California, about noon Pacific time, suffering cardiac arrest, according to brother Randy Jackson. He died at UCLA Medical Center. Lieutenant Fred Corral of the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office said an autopsy would probably be done on the singer Friday, with results expected that afternoon. Did you own any Michael Jackson albums?
Never. I hated Michael Jackson.
See, I loved Michael Jackson when I was a little kid, which is kind of funny since he molests little kids. But but when I was a little kid, I was fascinated by Michael Jackson. I loved him. You know, I didn't know much music, but I had the album Bad on CD. I had all of his albums up to Thriller, I think, on red vinyl.
Oh, wow.
Like LPs.
Wow.
I don't know what happened to him. I lost him when we moved one time. I don't know if they got... We had a lot of basement water damage. I don't know if it got wrecked in there or something, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really into Michael Jackson. When I was a little kid, you remember the jacket he wore in the video for Beat It, I think? It was like a red...
Oh, yeah,
vinyl
yeah.
jacket or something
the,
with zippers
all over
Michael
it. The famous Michael Jackson jacket, yeah.
I had one exactly like that, only little kid size.
No
and mine
shit.
Was black, but otherwise
wow.
it was exactly the same. The zippers were all in the same place and everything. And the sleeves, you could zip them off so it'd be like a vest.
Oh, man, that's very punk rock.
Yeah, very punk rock. I still like his old music and stuff. I don't know, I bought the last Michael Jackson... The last Michael Jackson album I bought was History, which was a two-disc thing.
Heard of it.
You never even heard of it?
Never heard of it. I wasn't really a fan.
It was kind of a big deal at the time. I mean, that was, it had, the cover of the CD was like a giant statue of Michael Jackson, one of his ridiculous, like, faux military jackets. You remember he'd wear that shit that looked like fantasy military uniforms? Medals all over the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was one of those. It was him with like a pair of sunglasses and one of those stupid jackets. And it was a two-disc set. I think that was the one that had... Do you remember the song Scream? It was him and Janet.
Yep, I remember that.
I think that was on that CD.
They were in
or
space.
One of those CDs. Yeah. I really liked that song. It was kind of rocking for Michael Jackson.
Yeah, my excuse. I mean, back in the day, like when he was getting big and everything, I wasn't into music at the time. And when I did get into music, I don't know. I didn't take a liking to that kind of music, I guess. So
it's kind of
I
weird.
Knew about him.
I don't know why, but I was so in. I mean, I liked it. I just genuinely liked it. But like, I don't remember my parents saying, "Hey, Kyle, check out this Michael Jackson shit." I don't, you know.
Yeah, he was huge.
I was just
he was
into
huge.
It. And it's funny because, like, as a little kid, like when I had very limited access to music. So like, at first, I was into Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Then it was MC Hammer.
Oh shit.
Then Vanilla Ice, and I can't remember liking anything in particular after that until I got into Green Day when Basket Case came out.
Yeah.
But did you ever see Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, his movie?
The movie? No, I didn't.
You've never seen it? I have it on
I've never
VHS.
Seen it. Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. Joe Pesci's in it.
Joe Pesci. Shit.
He's the bat. Well, it's two parts. The first half is this weird like hodgepodge of music videos and there's a claymation music video for the song Smooth Criminal, I think.
Yeah.
No, not Smooth Criminal's the one where there's a claymation video for the fuck is it called? Speed Demon, where he's being chased by a bunch of fans and they're all claymation.
Yeah.
He's live action.
He's live action.
He's running around like movie sets and stuff being chased by these claymation fans.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he goes into a costume like room with all these different costumes, puts on a giant rabbit head and then he turns into a claymation rabbit and tries to escape them on a motorcycle, and the motorcycle changes into like a jet ski and a rocket ship and all these other things. Then there's a claymation Pee-wee Herman in it. It's fucking nuts.
Pee-wee Herman.
And eventually he escapes them. He's out in the middle of the desert. He takes the costume off, sets the costume down, then turns around and the costume has come to life as the claymation rabbit. So then Michael Jackson and this claymation rabbit have a dance off. Then the rabbit disappears and a police officer shows up and points to a sign that has like a picture of, there was like this symbol he used to use sometimes that was a picture of his feet standing on their tippy toes with like sparkles coming off of it.
Okay. Yeah.
And there was a big, like one of those big red circles with the slash through it. So it was like a no, I guess I know Michael Jackson dancing zone.
Yeah.
So the police officer gives him a ticket.
Oh, fuck.
And then the rabbit's like off. The rabbit's head comes out of a mountain in the background and winks at him.
Oh, man.
It's fucking bizarre.
It sounds pretty cool for an 80s movie, man.
And but that's not even like when you get into the movie part. There's another part in the beginning that's a video for Bad, but it's called Badder.
Yeah.
And the entire video is reshot with children. Instead of,
oh, of course.
Instead Damn. Of like adults,
of course,
it's ridiculous. And that actually leads into the rabbit thing, because at the end of the video, like the little kid Michael Jackson is walking around talking to studio execs or something, and then walks through like a doorway, and then all of a sudden he's adult Michael Jackson, and that's when the fans attack him and he starts running away and turns into a rabbit. It's fucking nuts.
Yeah, I never saw the movie, but I played the video game on the Genesis.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you remember
yeah.
that?
I never played it on the Genesis, but I played it at roller rink when we were kids.
Yeah.
They had the arcade
version. They had the arcade?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was a ridiculous game.
That part was based on the actual movie part, which is the second half of the video.
Yeah, I knew that. I just hadn't seen that movie.
And it's about Joe Pesci's the bad guy. He's a drug dealer who loves tarantulas and peanuts for some reason. He has a giant globe where he's like indicating what territories he I guess are his turf or whatever.
Yeah.
And I guess he indicates it with tarantulas because there's tarantulas crawling all over this globe and he's eating peanuts and he's got his hair in this ponytail. He's wearing all black and like wearing sunglasses indoors and like a leather jacket and shit. And he's just, what happens is Michael Jackson and three orphans are playing soccer in the woods.
God damn it.
And there's a dog too. And they're playing soccer and they kick the ball and it goes into the woods. And I guess Joe Pesci's secret drug dealer underground lair is in the woods because they stumble into his lair and that's where they see him like looking at his globe with tarantulas all over it and eating peanuts and talking about like trying to sell drugs to kids. And I don't really remember how they actually get caught up in it. I don't know if they get caught in there, but then later like they leave. And it turns out Michael Jackson has superpowers because he wishes on a lucky star or something. Like at one point, he's being chased by these like futuristic neo-Nazi drug dealer guys that work for Joe Pesci.
Oh my god!
And he turns into a car. Like they show his shadow on a wall, and he morphs into a car, and then like the car fucking tears through everybody. And then later, there's a part where like the little orphan kids are trying to find him. All like in the beginning, it's all lush and green and sunny, but then somehow they're in the middle of a shitty city.
Yeah,
and it's nighttime, and the little orphan kids go up to this club that Michael Jackson told them to meet him at, and they go inside, and it's all dusty and nasty, and it looks abandoned. And they're like, "This is where he told us to meet him, right?" And they're like, "Yeah, I swear." And then they leave. But then Michael Jackson shows up and somehow the whole place comes to life and it's like a fucking 1930s gangster hangout, like Prohibition era gangster bar.
Yeah.
Everybody's dressed in like gangster gear. And that's when the Smooth Criminal video plays.
Okay.
And they all fucking dance. And he like, at one point he pushes a guy who flies into a brick wall and like evaporates into flames and leaves a chalk outline on the brick wall. It's fucking
that
insane.
Is fucked up.
And the whole time the orphan kids are watching through the windows.
Jesus Christ.
There's not a whole lot of narrative to it. There's another part at the big climax, he turns into a giant robot and his like main attack is he screams. Like there's like this Michael Jackson face on the robot and the jaw goes down like a ventriloquist dummy and he goes, and like shit's blowing up and shattering. I don't really remember how it ends.
God damn, this obviously came from Michael Jackson's imagination.
I think he probably wrote a lot of it.
Oh, God, it's so fucked up with the orphans and the kids.
It's insane.
Come on.
And it's funny because I don't know if Michael Jackson was molesting kids or not. I'm pretty sure the first time he was accused in 93, it turned out that the people accusing him were not particularly credible.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I knew about
sure,
that, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that one was bullshit. But yeah. Maybe they'd heard something and that's what caused them to do it, because it doesn't seem that far-fetched to me that Michael Jackson was molesting kids, because he's always had this weird fascination
that's
with children.
What I was about to say, yeah. It wasn't the whole case thing, because like you said, they didn't really have credibility, but the whole, you know, the theatrics of all his videos and shit, there were children. There was one that was, I don't know if it was black and white or not, but he's in this, it was kind of like an Edward Scissorhands kind of looking thing. And I don't recall the song or whatever, because I wasn't really into him, but he's in this house and he's like this crazy guy, you know, like, I don't know. God, scientist.
Are you talking about, there was a movie he did once that was, I never saw it. It was something about ghosts or something. Is that what you're
maybe,
talking about?
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, there's kids in it. And that just, all those aspects just turn me off about him.
It's kind of sad, too, because like on the one hand, I'm saying he was so fascinated with kids. Like he thought of himself as a kid. He basically thought of himself as like a modern day Peter Pan. In
Which
fact,
is
like,
fine, yeah.
He had the Neverland Ranch named after Neverland and Peter Pan.
Yeah.
He had portraits of himself painted as Peter Pan, you know. It's all eccentric and weird, but it's in a way, it's kind of sad that we see that and go, well, obviously, he's a fucking child molester.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's, I forget, I think it was Bill Burr. I heard the comedian talking about how he's terrified to go anywhere near anybody's children anymore. You know, like, you used to be able to go up to a kid and, like, rustle their hair and be like, hey, buddy, how's it going? But now you can't even come anywhere near a kid
without looking like a
pedophile.
Yeah.
So, you know, like in the Batter video where everybody's a kid, like in hindsight, now that everybody thinks of him as a child molester, it's kind of creepy. But at the time, it was just sort of cute, you know. It was like, oh, it's the same video, but with little kids.
Yeah, he was kind of like a kid hero. Like if we were kids, you know, watching Nickelodeon, he would have been like the big hero. And this is cool.
And again, like he had the Neverland Ranch where it's like a big fucking amusement park slash zoo.
Yeah, he's like the coolest guy.
He'd have like sick kids come out and hang out. Like that seems awesome. But now in hindsight, because he's been accused of molesting children, it's like, well, that's how he was luring them in. You know, like I don't really know what to think about that shit. But
yeah. And what bugs me is he, after all the fucking years, he just kept dwelling on this, you know, I never had a childhood. So, and he just stayed in that fantasy for like his whole fucking life. Like, get over it, dude. At some point, I was hoping he'd just get over it and be a fucking adult, but he never did. He was like, I want to be a child forever.
Well, that,
and that bugged me.
That's kind of his fault, but kind of not. Like, I mean, he was a fucking zillionaire by like age 24 or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, he'd been a star since he was a little kid.
Yeah.
So he's like 24 years old, which really isn't that old. I mean, I'm 26 now. I still don't really feel like an adult. And he's got a zillion trillion dollars. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. And nobody's telling him no. You know what I mean? Like he's the king of pop. He's the hugest fucking star in the world. Nobody's going to tell him no. So nobody's going to sit him down and go, you know, you need to fucking stop acting so fucking weird.
Yeah.
So by this point, he's so entrenched in this nuts nonsense and nobody's saying shit to him. So, you know, it's hard to blame him to a certain extent for being such a fucking weirdo.
I can see that. Yeah.
You know, if nobody ever...
It just didn't help his case.
Again, because I was watching a lot of Bill Burr comedy recently, it reminds me of, he had a bit about living alone, making you crazy. Because when you live alone, there's nobody there to tell you when you're being crazy.
Yeah.
Because we all do crazy
We've
shit.
All been there.
But if you live alone, there's nobody there to go, what the fuck are you doing?
Yep.
So he didn't live alone, but it's kind of the same idea. You know, he's got so much money. He's so powerful. Everybody around him is basically getting paid to be there. Nobody's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing, Michael?
Oh, yeah.
So he's doing crazy shit, but he doesn't really realize it because nobody's calling him out.
That makes sense, yeah.
So in a way, I kind of feel for him in his eccentricity. You know, who's going to tell him, Michael, don't get that plastic surgery. You're fine just the way you are. I mean, they might have said you're fine just the way you are, but do what you want. I mean, you're paying me, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, like in terms of plastic surgery, I think a lot of times it's ridiculous, but I don't, you know, do what you want. If it makes you feel better, then, you know, if it makes you feel better to have like triple G breasts, then I'm not into it, but do what you want.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel better to have next to zero nose and look kind of like Skeletor, you know,
he's still a mystery to me. Yeah, like I know why, you know, what happened to where he, you know, became white and whatnot, but like, were parts of his body like disfigured? I don't know, I always thought about that and wondered, because it was never touched on by the media.
What do you mean, were parts of his body disfigured?
Or like, was he all white,
Well, I believe what I had heard, and I have no idea if this is the truth or not, but what I had heard originally was that he had gotten chemical peels to lighten his skin on purpose. Yeah, yeah. But then what I heard later was he had this disease, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's not that uncommon in black people. Like, you'll see it sometimes where they have these like blotches that look like somebody spilled bleach on them.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain patches of their skin that are just light for no apparent reason. It's like an inverted birthmark.
Yeah, and that's why I always wondered, like...
What I had heard was that that's what he had, but that he then got chemical peels to kind of even out his skin tone.
I see, okay.
And he kept fucking doing it until he was white as a sheet.
So it would, you know, it wouldn't look so creepy. Okay.
Right, which ended up having, like, the opposite effect.
But then he got, the plastic surgery, which is fine, but it's like, goddamn, what are you becoming?
Funny, well, I don't know how funny it is, but... A story from when I was a kid, my dad once told me, because I didn't have a clue, I was a little tiny kid, and the Michael Jackson I was most familiar with was like from Bad, so because it was around that era when I was listening to him. I had the Bad CD, and there was a picture of him on the front, you know, and then my dad showed me an album from, I don't know, 5 years earlier or whatever, who knows, I forget what album it was, but before he'd had all the plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And my dad said... Michael Jackson got all this plastic surgery on his nose and shit, and he's like, he looked fine before, but I misunderstood and thought that the one he was showing me from the past was the more recent one.
Oh, shit.
And I remember saying something along the lines of, yeah, why would you get your nose made bigger? That's ridiculous. Yeah, he did look fine before. Because to me, as a little kid, this is what Michael Jackson looked like, and then you show me this picture of a dude with a bigger nose, and I'm like, yeah, why would you do that? Which is pretty funny, because everybody's like, why would you do that to your face? Why would you get your nose shaved down, get your chin shaved down? And I had the exact opposite opinion as a little kid. Like, yeah, why would you get your face made bigger? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I do feel for the guy. I feel like I've always felt like this, like Michael Jackson of all celebrities was always, he was the one celebrity that was like always under the microscope, and like every little thing he did, he seemed like he just wanted to like do his own thing, just, you know, fuck the media, just leave me the fuck alone. But every little thing he did was always blown way out of proportion, and they'd go for weeks, you know, talking about a story about it and like, you know, just... going off on it and, whoa, he must be crazy or this. And he's just sitting at home, you know, like with no voice. And I think eventually he came on, he did some interview like on NBC or some shit and just finally came clean, like, because he was so sick of this shit. All this this gossip just getting out of control, and his image was just destroyed.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not saying he didn't molest kids. I mean, I just don't know.
And but that's the thing, yeah.
A lot of the shit people point to is like circumstantial evidence. Like, look at this. He's obviously a fucking weirdo obsessed with kids. A lot of that shit, if you break it down, was harmless. And in fact, most of it was like kind of positive. Like having kids, having sick kids over to his Neverland Ranch, putting them on amusement park rides, letting them go to the zoo. I mean, even the stories like the Jesus juice thing, which I don't think is proven. It's just like somebody said this is something
he did.
Yeah,
another fucking media thing blown out of proportion.
That's weird, like feeding kids wine and shit. But aside from that, if he had like a little kid sleep with him in his bed, that's weird. It's unusual. But if that's all that happened, it's really not that big a deal. I mean, how often do little kids climb into bed with their parents? And, you know, you're like, well, that's their parents. That's different. Well, why is it really that different? It's just like...
Yeah. When did this happen? This whole, like, pedophile scare, you know, this fucking witch hunt. Like, any little thing you do around a child, you're automatically a pedophile.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I'd be fucking terrified to talk to some stranger's kid about anything, really. Like,
if anything, I think it started with him. And after all that shit, you know, all the accusations and all that shit, him going to court, after that, it just kind of, the whole pedophile thing just blew up.
Yeah, pedophiles fucking everywhere. And there are. I mean, I think it's probably a tiny minority in terms of percentage, but there are a lot of pedophiles out there. I mean, you know, you watch, what was that show? What was that fucking show where they lure pedophiles out?
Oh, To Catch a Predator.
Yeah, To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
You know, those people were pedophiles. Yeah. And, you know, they're out there for sure. And then there's like the Catholic priests that are molesting kids. It's funny that there's such a percentage of Catholic priests molesting kids.
It grows every year.
I think, to be fair, even though like I would love to say, haha, it's because they're Catholics. Like, there's something weird and corrupt about Catholics. But to be fair, I think it's more like, you know, I'm a pedophile. Where can I get access to kids?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can become a priest.
Priest or
anybody
teacher,
will trust me with their kids if I'm a priest. You know, like being a teacher. Yeah. Positions where you have easy access to kids where people will trust you to be alone with them.
Or run a daycare. Yeah, all that shit. yeah, I really think it's really sad that we came to that. And there's you can't do anything with children. Like, you can't even look at them without feeling guilty. Like I might look like a fucking pedophile just looking at a kid, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm afraid, like me and a friend were at a restaurant one time. I think it was Denny's, whatever. And there was a little kid in, like, the next booth over that kept peeking up over the back of the seat and, like, looking at us and yeah. waving at us and making faces at us and stuff. And we were laughing and waving and stuff. But the whole time I was kind of nervous, like, are these parents going to see me waving at their kid and think I'm trying to, like, seduce him?
I want to suck
I was like, penis. Turn around, kid. Turn around, kid. Just for the record, I don't have a boner right now. You know?
Yeah, that kind of shit. God, it's so sad to me.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like, old 80s movies where there's a lot of shit done where, like, adults will help kids out. And you look at that today and you're like, oh, my God, what is he doing with that child?
Yeah, but unless fuck, you're like a...
It's innocent, you know? It's just society has blown it out of proportion. And they've... it's just this scare and this witch hunt. They're out to get people. They're terrified.
Yeah, unless you're like a member of like Big Brothers, Big Sisters or something, if you tried to pull a kid under your wing and help him out, you know, kind of unofficially sort of adopt the kid, you know, you're hanging out with this kid all the time, somebody's going to be looking at you funny.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help, dude.
It's all these people that fucked it up for everybody else. Like, first it was, you know, Michael Jackson and his shit. You know, nobody know. I don't know if he's innocent or not, but so, you know, you go up to kid and you go to help him. You can't do that anymore. Okay. Well, say you go up to a kid and you got, you know, a cross around your neck and you're like, it's okay, I'm a Christian. Well, that ain't going to work for you anymore.
Right.
Not today.
Priests ruin that.
The priests ruin that. Yeah. So everybody's just ruined it for everybody else. You can't go up to a kid and go up, like at my work, when there's a kid by themselves, I'm always like, God, where are their parents? So I go up to him like, do you know where your mommy and daddy are? And then their mom and dad are like right there and they give me that look like, what the fuck you doing with my child?
You trying to kidnap my kid?
I'm trying to fucking help him, dipshit. God. And it, people have ruined it and people buy into that shit.
That's especially funny if you're at work because you're in like your
uniform.
You've got your name tag on.
I'm trying to help. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to fucking kidnap your kid and molest him on my break.
Yeah. God, that pisses me off.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of like, you know, I always wanted to go into the scam business and hit people up for money just claiming I was a Christian, but homeless people ruin that for everybody. Assholes. You notice that? It's okay, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? Because I'm a Christian, and I need $40 for the bus.
Right.
Yeah, fuck you. But anyway, yeah, rest in peace, Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Don't you hate that shit? I hate that shit.
Rest in peace.
I hate that shit. God. It's like my death space, if you ever read that shit. Like, somebody dies, no disrespect, but people will post on their pages like they're talking to them. Like,
oh, yeah. Like, they're my death space is like... when somebody dies who has a MySpace, they post the MySpace on there and post about like how they died and stuff. Is that what it is?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So then people go on their MySpace and comment, like, which is, I don't know, I guess it's not any weirder than going to their grave and pretending to talk to them. But it does seem kind of funny, like, to go on their MySpace after they're dead and be like, I miss you.
Yeah, it's some...
Send.
Yeah. And they're out there somewhere. I got it. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's bullshit. God. And I can't read that shit. And the whole rest in peace thing, like, rest in peace. Okay. So they're out there and they were thinking, you know, I didn't really want to, but now that you mentioned it, sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, like, I don't believe in an afterlife anyway, but even if I did, like, rest in peace. I was doing that. I'm on it. Don't worry about it. Yeah,
it's so stupid. Oh, man. Yeah, like going to the person's grave and or, you know, just talking to them like while you're sitting alone and they've passed. You know, I can kind of...
It's not rational. Like I said, I don't believe in an afterlife.
It's not rational at all. Yeah.
But I could see, like, just for yourself doing it.
It's like a comfort thing. Yeah. In a time of incredible loss and grief and you're just super sad.
Like, I wish I could talk to you again, so I'm just going to do it.
Yeah,
even though I know you can't fucking hear me.
And in this world of all mysteries, you know, who knows shit? You know, what if they are, you know, fucking in some way, some crazy magical way listening? You know, nobody knows. It's a comfort thing, you know. I don't really look down upon that, even though it is irrational.
Well, it's like funerals. I mean, funerals are not really for the dead. you know, they're for the living. They're for the people who survived them. Like, and you can definitely see that when you go to a funeral, because funerals a lot of times are almost disrespectful to the dead. Like,
exactly, yes.
Especially if you go to a funeral for somebody who was particularly religious or whose family was particularly religious, because the whole fucking thing will be about God. It'll have nothing to do with the person that died.
Exactly. I went to my grandpa's funeral, and the whole time, they didn't fucking talk about him once. They maybe brought up a few things, but the entire time was just prayer, just reciting from a book. And it's
he was a great guy, but Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah, wasn't it supposed to be about him? It really upset me.
Yeah, like, I don't like funerals anyway, because I think they're kind of pointless. But if I was going to go to a funeral, like if I was somehow in charge of the funeral, I would want to bring like photos of the person and talk, like tell stories about the person.
Yeah, it's like, it's about them. And
this is to remember this person that just died. You know, we're supposed to be celebrating their life, or at least that's how I would want to do it.
Yeah, same here, yeah.
I don't want to just stand around and cry and read passages from the Bible. You know, I want to talk about this person that I really liked, and the whole reason I'm here is because I really liked them, and I miss them, and they're dead.
Yeah, and the closest thing they come to that at any funeral I've been to is when they'll call people up to say a few words or bring up a story,
mm-hmm.
and every fucking time there's like one person, if that, that will go up, and it's fucking pathetic. One person will go up and share a story, because everybody's just like, what are they thinking? And I've always wanted to do that, but I'm always so fucking angry that the whole thing's not about the person. I can't even get up there because I'm just like fucking, like a vein is running down the center of my fucking head. And I'll get up there and be like, listen, fuckers, I had a great time with this asshole.
Right.
Shit, fuck. I mean, he was a great guy. You know, I couldn't ever bring myself to go up and share a story, even though I wanted to really bad.
Yeah, if I died, for one thing, I don't give a shit if people have a funeral or not. I just don't care, because I won't be there anyway. I don't care if you take a shit in my mouth after I die. I just don't care. But if I was somehow magically around to witness what happens after I die and how people respond to it and stuff, I would want people to go up and tell ridiculous stories about me, like, remember that time Kyle got wasted and puked all over the bartender?
Yeah.
That just funny stories,
funny,
you know?
Funny stuff, yeah, that just, you know, make people smile in the time of absolute darkness and sadness, in spite of your loss.
Yeah, like, talk about why you came to the funeral. Because if you're just like, well, he's dead, we have to have a funeral, then just don't fucking bother. But if you're there because you're like, you cared about me, then come and talk about why you cared about me, you know? Like, why are you here, you know?
Yeah, I understand, like, the whole funeral thing is obviously a social thing, and it's socially acceptable. You know, someone dies, like, a few days later, there will be a viewing, and there will be a funeral,
yeah,
and all that shit. But the way they go about it is so, like a fucking broken record. Like, it's the same, it's like a cookie cutter. Every one of them is the fucking same thing. They're not unique in any way, and that's bullshit. It takes away from that celebration of their life, this individual.
Yeah, I'm mostly done with funerals. I will not go to a funeral because I'm supposed to anymore. Like, there have been several of my extended family that have died in the past couple of years, and I just haven't gone because I don't care. I didn't know this person.
Yeah.
But I'm supposed to go because, like, this is my grandfather or whatever. But I didn't know this person. I didn't hang out with this person.
Yeah, I find that disrespectful. Like, if you're there and you don't give a shit.
Your great aunt Hilda died. You got to come to the funeral. Who's my fucking great aunt Hilda? Fuck you. I'm not going. That's almost disrespectful in and of itself.
Yeah.
Like, if the person could magically see what was going on and they're looking in the crowd and they're like, who the fuck's this asshole?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
God, yeah. I hate that shit.
Plus, you got to buy, like, a suit and shit and show up, or at least, like, a nice dress shirt. I don't own any of that shit.
Yeah.
I don't get dressed up for shit.
It's all routine.
That's another thing. Who gives a fuck? Why are you getting dressed up to go look at the dead? Like, did you get dressed up to hang out with them in life? Like, why? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Just show up.
Yeah, it's I think it ties into the religious thing. It's like respect for the dead, and they're out there watching. They're hoping everybody's dressed up because, God damn it, I was important.
Yeah.
I didn't
iron your shirt this morning? Don't you fucking respect the dead? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, Grandpa didn't get fucking dressed up to feed me fucking Werther's Originals on his goddamn porch. Like, why do I have to get dressed up to go and remember the time that he gave me fucking Werther's Originals?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's obviously all about the people that are there and their crazy, you know, they buy into the routine, and it's just how things go, and they got to show up, and they got to dress up, and they got to do this, and then they leave and go watch the fucking ball game, and
yeah,
they're just missing the point, in my opinion, even though they're the religious ones.
I don't know what religion it is, or maybe it's several different ones, but I know there's like a custom of like everybody in the family throws one clump of dirt on the casket. Traditions like that are just weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, for one thing, it's silly that we bury people in the ground, period. Like,
oh, yeah.
Once upon a time, it kind of made sense because we had to do something with the body.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to go somewhere, but why not just get everybody fucking cremated? Like I said, I don't care what you do with my body. You want to bury it in the ground, that's fine. You want to take a shit on my face and hang me from a tree, I don't care.
It takes up so much fucking space.
Yeah. If we continue to do this forever, eventually the planet is going to be covered in graves.
It'll be a whole graveyard, yeah.
We're all going to be living on top of a graveyard. and we're all going to be haunted like the fucking Poltergeist movies.
But more and more people throughout the years are choosing to become cremated. I don't know. I don't research this shit, but I don't know if it's because they do it for a certain reason, like I don't want to take up space, or I want to be kept in a home, or if they feel it's some spiritual thing. I don't know.
I think part of it, like the costs are lower, like to the family, you know, because you have to have...
Oh, yeah, the costs are lower, yeah.
You have to have, like, you have to pay the funeral home for, like, the viewing and everything and the embalming and all that crap. You have to buy the casket.
Casket, yep.
You have to have the whole funeral, pay for the funeral plot, you know, the burial plot.
Yep.
But if you just get cremated, like, you have to pay to have them cremated, but that's the end of it.
That's it. They put
you
in a little box.
You can have, like, a reception or whatever, and you can have a funeral, but you don't actually have to bury them in the ground. You don't have to buy them a fucking suit.
How do you feel about, like... people that cremate their, you know, loved ones, or people that cremate their loved ones. How do you feel about that? No. The whole thing where their loved ones get cremated. Fuck me. Get cremated, and then they put the goddamn thing in their goddamn house. How do you feel about
that? That is sort of weird. I mean, I guess, like I said, I don't care what you do. Like, if I got cremated, you want to keep it in your house, fine, I guess. Dead people, ashes in your house. If you want to dump it in the trash, I don't care. But I don't know. I guess it's like a keepsake, kind of. But it's sort of a weird, morbid keepsake. Like, yeah, grandpa's on the fucking mantle.
It's like, all death in everybody's eyes nowadays is all about symbolism. It's like if you throw, like, say you died, Kyle, and you wanted to be cremated and the ashes were in my house and I dumped them in the trash, people would be like, what are you doing?
You did what?
In the trash? Because, you know, dumping something in the trash is like, it symbolizes I don't give a fuck about it.
Right.
Well,
it's a fucking jar full of ashes.
Yeah. It's this symbolism thing overtakes people and they become obsessed and they just don't get it. Like, it's fucking ash.
Yeah. It's not that the shit in that jar isn't really grandpa anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure, and even if you're religious, I'm sure fucking grandpa up in heaven isn't like, you did what with my ashes?
Yeah.
He's just hanging out, fucking banging hookers. He's having a good time. Well, I guess they probably wouldn't be hookers, because if it's heaven, you probably don't have to pay.
Yeah. But, grandpa's in hell.
Grandpa's fucking angels. Getting a wing job. I don't know. Yeah. Well, speaking of like religion and shit. There's I found this video of this, I guess he's like a televangelist preacher, and he's talking about, well, he talks about a bunch of different things.
Now, I personally believe that Satan does work through inanimate objects like a Ouija board or a crystal ball or tarot cards. And that's my question today, is if Satan can work through inanimate objects like a Ouija board, why can't he work through something about 12 inches round, has grooves on it, and goes round and round on a turntable if, in fact, it's been dedicated to Satan? Stevie Nicks is a witch. She is a known practicing witch. All of a sudden, this group Berlin came out to perform. She says, the group Berlin came out to perform. She said, all of a sudden, I could feel 100% evil come over me. On Kenny Loggins' album, you'll see that he, too, has the crystal ball in his hand. Michael J. Fox, standing on the front of the Rolling Stone album, on the Rolling Stone magazine, you'll see that he, too, is looking into the crystal ball.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox is satanic.
God damn.
Fucking Kenny Loggins.
Michael J. Fox must be possessed by some kind of demon because he shakes that way. It's just so much demon in him, so much evil.
The whole idea of, like, he's talking about Satan can work through inanimate objects. Obviously, I don't believe in Satan, but even if I did, like, what does that even mean? He works through inanimate objects. Like,
he's so... He's so not powerful. He has to go through like little game boards and shit. Yeah.
Thank God Mattel put out that Ouija board, because how else am I going to fuck with humans?
Yeah.
Thank God they invented rock and roll records, because I was just sitting around going, what the fuck am I going to do?
It's fucking crazy, man.
What did he used to do? Like arrange rocks to spell out like, fuck you. Like Satan can work through inanimate objects.
Oh, fuck.
And of course, like if Satan was working through a record, obviously he has to work through the message on the record, which means he has to work through the people recording the record, which means that it's not really an inanimate object anymore that he's working through, but whatever.
Yeah, he's full of shit, obviously, but
I don't know how old this video is. It looks kind of old to me. Like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
It's from like an old VHS tape or
well,
something.
Well, shit, you watch the fucking TCT, you know, on cable, Total Christian Television,
right.
You know, they're all dressed in like their video quality alone looks
yeah,
old.
Yeah, it does usually look pretty shitty, which is funny because they're always asking for donations and shit, like... They're making trillions of dollars because these people think they're basically writing a check to God.
Have you ever really watched that?
I've watched some of it.
I've sat down and watched it. It is very sad to me. Like, they try to convince people, and I don't know how people can stand for this kind of shit. They convince people to donate money, obviously, but the more they donate, the more, like, they tell stories of people donating, like, $10,000, like, their whole life savings, and great things come to them, and they promise this. And nobody, there's no lawsuits against this.
Yeah, so
they just say,
donated.
Well, it wasn't my time. God didn't choose me. I don't know.
Yeah, this person donated $5,000 and then their cancer went away or whatever.
This blows my fucking mind. God.
Well, back in the day, like way back, you used to be able to pay the Catholic Church to, you used to basically be able to buy absolution for your sins. Like you could buy forgiveness.
That is hilarious. Like and people still aren't convinced. Like
it was like a sin tax. Sin tax, haha. But it was like you could like go and rape somebody and then be like, oh, shit, I fucking raped somebody. How much is it going to cost to get forgiven? And you could buy forgiveness.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Of course, now it's like a fucking fire sale. You can get forgiveness for free now. But
yeah. Oh, my God. But, yeah. Continuing on.
And all of a sudden, the table started to lift off the ground. Well, I say, la-da-da-da, the devil could lift a table. I could lift a table, and she wasn't impressed with me. I mean, honestly, folks, if all my God could do is lift a table, I'd go out and buy a moving van, and we'd go into business, God and my moving van service.
Oh. I agree, like, if all the devil can do is lift a fucking table, then who gives a shit? But God doesn't even lift tables. God doesn't do shit. Like, what's the last thing God did?
Oh, man.
God doesn't even say, hey, how's it going?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
God's not putting messages in our records or making us, like, sending us messages through board games. God's not doing shit.
He's testing us, yes. We should already know from birth.
I guess, yeah. God's fucking lazy.
My God doesn't say, oh, my, I better go out and lift me a table somewhere and impress me a teenager. They tell me that if you serve Jesus Christ, you'll do strange things, like you won't beat your wife anymore.
That is fucking strange.
Isn't that odd? That's very strange.
I'm sure he meant it like kind of sarcastically. Like
you'll out do of place.
Yeah, you'll
it's
do
very.
I think he meant it sarcastically. Like you'll do strange things, like not beat your wife.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I think he meant that's not. But still, it's funny.
They say if you become a Christian, you won't get drunk and come home and slap your children around. You see, there are 2 million children missing in America today. Kill these children and offer them as human sacrifices. Put a knife into that child.
No, obviously that was a bit of clever editing.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's still funny.
Sacrifice all these children.
Put a knife into that child.
That's good shit.
Did you ever hear about, I think it was in the 80s, there were all these cases of people going into like hypnosis sessions and like children going into hypnosis sessions and being kind of coached and coming out with all these stories about being involved in satanic rituals and their parents were like raping them and all their friends would come over and rape them and sacrifice children
Jesus, no.
None of it was true, but there were all these stories because all these kids were coming out with these like these eyewitness accounts of all this shit happening. Of course, it was all supposedly repressed memories that the hypnotists were getting out of them.
Yeah.
But it was really just like suggestion, like, and did they touch you? Where did they touch you? And like, you know, like that kind of shit.
Interrogation, yeah.
My dad fucked me and all his friends came over and they killed this other little kid and drank his blood, fucked his dead body, like all this crazy shit.
Wow.
And all these people were getting accused of this shit and being tried all on the basis of hypnosis.
Holy shit.
I think most of that shit got overturned, if not all of it. But
good. That sickens me.
I mean, hypnosis is like a real phenomenon, but not in the sense most people think about it. Like hypnosis is basically just relaxation. Yeah. You know, like hypnosis isn't like you put somebody under and then you can make them cluck like a chicken.
Yeah, like you see on television and shit. That's all bullshit.
That's off topic.
Satan is Lord. And all of a sudden that hot pot exploded and tar flew all over me. They took me to the hospital. As I lay in that hospital, I said, "Dear God, if this is what hell's going to be like, I never want to go to that place." That night, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and I'm never going to have to burn again. Right. Well, that was the greatest thing ever could happen to that guy, is that his body could be burnt, that his soul could be saved.
The greatest thing that could ever happen to this guy
is to get covered in burning tar. Permanently, like, disfigured for life.
Well, good thing he found Jesus, because goddamn.
That's what it takes, and that's what it takes. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to that guy. Jesus. Like, how do you walk through life with that kind of belief system?
This terrifies me. I am terrified.
Like, I know he's not saying this, but, like, how far removed is that from saying, like, why don't we just dump burning tar on atheists?
Yeah. That'll be the best day of their life.
It'll be the best. We're doing this for your own good.
I don't want to go to hell if this is what hell feels like.
This is what hell's going to be like, boy. Do you want to go to hell? Not really. Ow.
Not really. Ow.
Except Jesus Christ. Well, okay, if you stop pouring burning tar on me. Fucking ridiculous.
You know how I know that Jesus is God? Buddha's not God. Muhammad's not God. You know how I can prove that Jesus is God? Have you ever seen somebody working on a fence and take a hammer and hit their thumb and go, "Ah, Buddha"? Ever seen them do that? Nah. How many hit a golf ball like I hit a golf ball and they go, "Oh, Muhammad"? Why do they call that name? You know what they do? They go, "Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ." Why do they call that name? You know why? Because I believe when a person gets hurt or angry, they want to blame who? They want to blame God. And they call his name Jesus Christ. It's J-E-S-U-S or D-E-V-I-L.
Great justification.
You know how I can prove that Jesus is God and not all these other fucking faggots? When you hit yourself on a thumb with a hammer, you don't yell, "Oh, Zeus!" You yell,
"Proof!
Jesus Christ!
That is proof! That is hallelujah! Hallelujah!" Fuck this guy. What do you say when you hit yourself with a hammer?
I'm an atheist, and I still say Jesus Christ all the time. It's a figure of speech.
It rolls off the fucking tongue, yeah.
It's a part of our speech patterns.
If I grew up somewhere else, I might say something different.
If somebody said, "By the beard of Zeus," it would
all
sound,
the fucking time, yeah.
It would sound funny, but it's not because they, like, believe in Zeus, you
yeah.
know?
It's figure of speech, yeah.
Yeah, it's just simple. part of our speech patterns. It's like people who say "God bless you" after you sneeze. Like, fucking nobody anymore believes that the reason you sneeze is because the devil's trying to yank your soul out of your face. But yeah. We still say it. I don't say it anymore because I think it's ridiculous. And I don't know. I mean, I guess in my own little way, I'm trying to phase it out. But I don't care when other people say it because that's not what they mean.
It doesn't bug me. Yeah, it's a figure of speech. I'm not offended. Like,
yeah,
I don't believe in God. Fuck you.
Bless you. It's just it's a reaction. It's almost not even the words anymore. It's almost just a sound. Like
I instinctively say thank you afterwards. I don't even think about it. They're like, "Bless you." I'm like, "Thank you."
Yeah.
Whew. Wait a minute.
Thank God you were here.
I'm not thinking, yeah.
I almost lost my eternal soul through my nasal passages. Oh, yeah, man. That's ridiculous.
I can understand, like, if you sneezed and, like, a little cancer came out.
Didn't you one time, like, sneeze and you told me something came out that looked like a grape with veins on it.
Yeah, a little cyst. Yeah, I had no idea what it was. I sneezed so hard, and something went in the sink, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? It looked like a grape. I pick it up, and had a little, it was, you know, like an oval, like a grape, but one little part of it looked like it was attached to me, and it, like, broke off, and then there were, like, little veins in it and shit, and I popped it, and I'm like, what the? It was, like, the size of a grape. It was huge, and it hurt like hell coming through my nose. But
yeah. When you popped it, did it scream? Maybe that was your soul.
Well, it's gone, though. I feel a lot better.
Ah, fuck. In the same vein...
Yeah.
Religious bullshit. Brandon Johnson, our friend Brandon Johnson, sent us a video of a gay exorcism.
Oh, my God.
It happened in Connecticut, I think. And it's a 16-year-old kid who's fucking enormous. Like, when I first watched the video, I hadn't read the article. So I didn't know he was 16. I thought he was probably, like, in his 30s.
Yeah, but he's a tall guy.
They're all black, so, you know, black people are weird. They grow bigger than normal people.
Yeah.
And by normal people, I mean whites. but it's this black church. They're all black, which isn't really important, but and they're all standing around. This kid's laying on the floor. They're putting their hands on his head and trying to get the gay demons out of him.
Blood of Jesus against you. I declare the clean right now. In the name of Jesus. Loose in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. I call my homosexuality right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Loose here. Loose. In the name of Jesus. It's not finished. Nobody move.
Nobody move. Nobody move. Watch out. It's not finished. Jerome's got the gay devil in him. Nobody move. You might catch the gay.
You want a clean spirit. You demonic spirit that is not of God. We command you by the power of the blood of Jesus to loose your hold. Loose your hold. In the name of Jesus. You homosexual spirit, we call you out right now. You have no power in the name of Jesus. You have no power.
Oh, man.
You have no power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Get out, you homosexual demon.
Oh, man.
The funny thing about this gay exorcism and all exorcisms
Everything.
To me is that they say things like, you have no power here. You have no power. I command you in the by the power of Jesus. But, like, why does it take so fucking long?
Yeah.
That's how it works. Like, if you have no power here, does the devil just not understand?
They're trying to convince him.
Wait, yeah. I thought I had Are you serious? I thought I had power here. Wait, I don't... Oh, God, I'm sorry, guys. My bad. I don't hear so well. So, I didn't know what you were saying. Okay, I don't have power. Okay, I'll get out of here then.
It's like an RPG. They got to build up that power of Jesus. It's like, it starts off small, but the more they say it, it grows and grows. And then they get those, you know...
They're charging their Jesus shot. Jesus blast! Like, yeah, why? It's so weird. Like, you have no power here. By the power of Jesus, I command you to leave. And the devil's just hanging out like, la, 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 I'm not listening.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and my mom told me whenever, you know, I sensed evil or anything that frightened me, I just repeat, you know, the prayer, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and just repeat it over and over. And I never thought about it, but why do I have to keep repeating it?
Yeah, like I said, is the devil hard of hearing? Like, you got to say it a bunch of times because he doesn't quite get it. Or like, if he has no power here, then...
Like if you say it once, he'll stay away, but then he'll come back after you stop. He's like, well, he's almost done. All right, he's done. All right, here I come.
It seems obvious to me that if any of this was real, the devil actually does have some power here. Or wouldn't he be gone already?
Exactly.
Or how did he get in the first place?
Yeah. Crazy bullshit.
The blood of Jesus is against you. You have no power. Loose your grip. Loose your grip, Lucifer. You sex demon. Loose your grip. The blood is against you.
You think the devil doesn't know that? The blood of Jesus is against you.
School me.
Wait, the blood of Jesus is against me? Wait a minute. Like, It's such a weird, bizarre, like, yeah. I mean, it's bizarre to begin with, but like, even if you believe all this shit, it's a weird, it's weird logic. Like, I have to tell the devil that Jesus doesn't like him very much.
It's like, all right, I got it.
I'm sure he's been through a lot of these exorcisms before. I think he understands that Jesus is not a fan. The blood of Jesus is against you. Wah!
Yeah, you gotta remind him.
Why do you have to talk like that? Like, do you talk like that all the time? I mean, I guess I can understand yelling at the devil because you're a bit emotional right now, but do you always end every sentence with, ah?
Yeah.
That's I'm going weird. To the store to buy some groceries. Ah. I'll be right back. Ah.
Where's the oil? Nobody, just one person bring the oil. Nobody move.
Bring some oil. Just one person bring the oil. Nobody move.
Like he said, they might catch a gay.
You might catch the gay demon. Plus, like, what are you going to do with oil? Is it holy oil? I've never heard of oil.
There is holy oil.
Holy yeah. oil? Is holy oil better than holy water?
It sticks better. I don't know. My mom bought holy oil and used it, dipped her finger in it, and drew crosses on every doorway in our home. I think it just sticks well because, you know, if you use water, it evaporates quicker and they can get in easier.
The fucking devil's coming to your door. He's about to knock on the door and then he's like, oh, shit.
Oil?
Fuck. Why couldn't you have used water? I could just hose the door down and come in. But of course, water and oil don't mix, so yeah. If I hose the door down, it might not wash off.
You demon, you. In the name of Jesus, put you a distraction. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus right now. I call you out right now in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus.
He's not even saying Jesus. Maybe that's why it's not working.
I wish you could play that back and I put a little beat behind it.
Get out! Yeah, somebody's going to remix
this. In the name of Jesus. Get out!
In the name of Jesus.
Get out!
In the name of Jesus. But he's not even saying Jesus. He's saying, get out in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. I heard that shit.
I don't have time for the second S. This is important business.
Maybe that's why it's not working. He ain't saying it right.
The devil's like, get out in the name of who? What was that? Get out in the name of who? Say it again. Keep trying, here. Asshole.
I'm still here. Being all gay and
it
shit.
It is gay. Yeah, it is gay, devil. I'm still here.
That's why God hates gays.
Try
the devil,
again, asshole.
He loves the, you know, the gay.
The devil loves cock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then again, who doesn't?
Quite apparent. Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
I mean, cock. It's fucking awesome. You know, actually, dicks, like, are kind of monstrous. Like,
yeah.
Fucking
yeah.
veiny and shit.
You think, yeah, they'd like their own, you know?
Yeah. I guess I could see how you could attribute, like, dicks to the devil.
The vagina, if you want to compare them, like, the dick is, like, the better monster.
Well, at least the dick doesn't have teeth. I mean,
yeah.
Vaginas have teeth, right? I don't know. I've never seen one.
Get out in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, I command you to leave this cell in the name of Jesus. You have no power here. You have no glory here. In the name of Jesus.
Could you imagine being at the meeting where they decided to do this? So, I guess on Friday, we're going to have a gay exorcism again.
Yeah. Yep. They got to plan it.
Fucking limp-wristed Jerome.
Does this fit my schedule?
It's been sucking a lot of cock again.
Jerome, so. Are you available, you know, at 3 in the afternoon on Tuesday?
Yeah. Could you come by around 3? We're thinking of having a gay exorcism. Oh, that works for me. Yeah, sure. Actually, wait. I got something going on at 3. Could we do it at 4?
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine being there in the planning of this, like, just rational, calm speaking?
Yeah, I can't imagine. And that's what bugs me a lot. Like, this guy is just on the floor playing along, and he's
I have to imagine. The thing is, his whole family's probably like, you're fucking possessed by the devil. And he's, like, he's heard all of his life that being gay is evil.
And he's obviously gay.
He's gay, but he's also a part of this fucking religious nut group.
Yeah.
Everybody he knows is against him. His whole community's against him. So he's like, well, shit, I don't want to be gay. Maybe this will fucking work. So he's playing along. He's like, if I act like the devil's leaving me, maybe the devil will fucking leave me and I won't be gay anymore. That's what I imagine.
Maybe his parents will leave him alone. alone.
Yeah, if I at least pretend that the gay devil left my body, I can pretend to be straight, and maybe everybody will get off my gay back.
Yeah. God.
Should I play more of this? It's all pretty much the same shit.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus!
We'll cut it at what we did, yeah. We get the gist of it, yeah.
It's weird that they all have that, like, preachers and stuff, they all have that sort of same delivery.
All of them.
Get out in the name of Jesus! Predominant. You have no power here! Like, you have no glory! Would it not work if you were just like, hey, get the fuck out, devil?
Yeah, I guess not. You need that angst to that voice, and it's predominantly the black preachers. Yeah, it just,
well, even the white, like, televangelist preachers, they're often shouting like that.
That's
same
true,
basic,
yeah,
pattern.
It's like they got more power in the voice. It's more convincing.
And the Lord came down and he said to me, Jesus sucks dicks. Ah,
yeah, it's more convincing.
It's always like that. It's always like that same cadence.
It sells better.
And
yeah,
that scratchy voice.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's more convincing.
Somehow, if you yell it, you're more convincing. Yeah.
Yep.
The old ladies will buy your DVDs.
If you're like, dude, devil, can you get out of there? Nobody in that crowd, you know, paying, you know, donations and shit is going to buy it. So you gotta play the role.
But, like, even, like, you don't have to be, like, a pussy about it. Like, hey, devil, could you get out of there? But, like, even if you're yelling, nobody yells like that.
Like a normal yell,
like,
yeah.
Like, if you're pissed off and having an argument, do they sound like that then, too? Like, and I told you to have dinner ready when I got home, bitch. Don't make me hit you again. Like, you know, is that how they always yell?
When they want shit done, yeah. They want to be convincing.
I thought I told you to have that report done by 5 o'clock and on my desk.
Daddy, you're scaring me.
Clean your fucking room. Why are you leaving your toys around all the time for me to step on?
Yeah. Fucking ridiculous. I could not be in that goddamn church even if I, you know, was a believer and not laugh my ass off.
Yeah, it's like a comedy show.
It is.
I wonder if, like, maybe they didn't plan this and they were just having regular church.
Yeah.
Maybe he did. Maybe he, like, did something kind of gay.
And they were like, all right, this is going down.
Like, he waved at somebody kind of limp-wristedly and they were like, oh, shit. Stop the service. Get your ass out into the aisle. Now lay down on the floor. I'm going to put my hand on your head and we're going to have a fucking exorcism. We're going to get this done. I watched your fucking faggoty ass walking around here being all full of gay demons for too long.
Too long.
It's time we got this done. I don't. Like, the gay exorcism.
Fucking ridiculous.
I thought gay rehab was bad enough, you know, like sending somebody to a rehab for gays where they try to make you less gay.
Yeah, this
or
puts
not gay.
This puts the cherry on top. Yeah. And what's funny is if you're Christian and you're out there, how do you feel about this shit? Because they're on the same fucking team as you. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
You're all on the same goddamn team.
I was watching a video by Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller, and he was talking about how he is an atheist, but he doesn't respect people who are religious who don't proselytize, who don't spread the word. Because, and it makes sense to me, like, if you honestly believe that there is an afterlife, and if you don't do the right shit, you're going to go to hell and burn forever.
Yeah.
And if you do the right shit, you're going to go to heaven, and you're not going around telling people, like, doesn't that make you kind of an asshole?
I can see that, yeah.
So I do agree with that. Like, I respect you more if you're at least trying, if you honestly believe that and you're at least trying to help. The problem I have is just that you shouldn't believe that in the first place. That's
fucking
stupid.
Ken Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
What was that show?
Growing Pains, yeah.
But now he's going around like a douche.
He is the king of douche and the king of preaching, yeah.
Him and that buddy of his with the mustache. I don't remember what the guy's name is, but they made like that video about how like the banana is proof of intelligent design because it fits the human hand so well.
That's evolution.
And how evolution obviously isn't true, because if evolution was true, you'd have a half duck, half alligator. It doesn't make any sense.
Why is the stick bug around, you know? That's evolution. You know, the fucking bug, you know, over a vast span of time, you know, there was a bug that looked like a stick and it didn't get eaten up. So evolution.
If that was evidence of intelligent design, does that mean that God doesn't want that bug to get eaten, like, ever? So that bug is supposed to be safe?
Yep.
But some animals...
That's a special bag.
But God fucked up and made some animals too crafty.
Yep.
So it occasionally gets eaten anyway.
Like, I like this bug.
Intelligent design is kind of nuts, because the whole system involves things eating each other and murdering each other. Yeah. Like, that's our whole ecology is like, we kill and eat other things. And I guess, you know, if you're religious, maybe you believe that we're the only special creatures on the planet. Yeah. Everything else is everything for else. Us to eat.
Yeah.
But why didn't he just make, like, animals that grow out of the ground like plants? Or, you know, why did he have to make animals for us to eat? Why yeah. couldn't they just all be dumb, mindless plants? You
yeah.
know, like a beef tree. Like, why? Why do we have to murder things? And why are there some animals that are too cute for us to murder?
You know, yeah. Like,
why do we have puppies? What are puppies good for? I mean, I guess dogs, you can make them pull sleds and
yep.
and you can use them as guard animals. I don't know.
They fetch beers and shit. But they don't go to heaven.
No, nope. That's true.
They don't go to heaven.
No
Nor
souls.
Nor do insects. Yeah.
Animals don't just have us. Souls.
We're special.
Did you hear about Obama swatting a fly during an interview?
Nope.
There's some, it made news for no real reason, but there's this video of Obama during an interview, and there's a fly in the room.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he smacks it like a fucking ninja. Like,
all right.
He catching a fly in a pair of chopsticks in the air. It's kind of impressive, I guess, but like, nails whatever.
All right.
But then PETA freaked out.
Oh,
and like,
fuck.
They sent him some humane fly traps where you can catch the fly and let it go.
Fuck PETA, man.
PETA's insane.
God damn.
I don't know. I just, that came out of nowhere. But
speaking of PETA, I was at the Rise Against show the other day. And
well, it's a concert. Rise Against
concert,
is a band.
Yeah.
He's in Detroit.
Yeah, it's a band. I should have covered that. But so I'm in line, you know, waiting to get in, waiting for the doors to open. And of course, I'm at a concert. And every time I'm at a concert, not every time, but there's these fucking guys. There were religious fanatics there. They didn't talk to me. But there were also PETA people there. Because Rise Against, they're vegans. They're avid, you know, PETA supporters. So they had these fucking PETA people out. And I'm sitting in line, you know, and this one guy, he's got a clipboard and he's talking, you know, he's lecturing these people in front of me. From what I could tell, I wasn't listening, but I'm like, oh, fuck, man, this is going to ruin my day. When he comes up to me, I'm thinking, I just wanted to say, you know, don't preach to me. Please just move along. Okay, I'm just here to see a show. All right.
Right.
But he came up to us and he had a clipboard and he said he basically just was talking about McDonald's and how they kill chickens and whatever. You know, they kill them with like certain saw blades and shit. And he said, well, we got a petition to make it, you know, more humane. We'd like to see them be put in like a chamber and, you know, like a nitrogen gas or some gas would go into the chamber and they would die more humanely. And I thought that was kind of fucked up. But he's wearing the shirt that says PETA 2. And I didn't notice at first. PETA 2.
PETA 2.
Okay, whatever. So I'm like, whatever the fuck. He's not preaching. He's just asking for a signature. So I signed it, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. He moved along. But then it kind of hit me. I'm like, PETA 2? And it hit me. It's like, is this like the more laid back version of PETA?
This is like PETA light. Like
PETA light, yeah.
We want more ethical treatment for animals, but
we don't mind if they get killed. Just
yeah. We just want you to kill them a little nicer.
Yeah. We're more laid back, so, you know.
We're half-assed PETA.
So, you know, we're more approachable. You know, people won't give us as much shit. We're like a new version, PETA 2.0, you know. I thought that was really funny.
PETA would probably have more supporters if they toned themselves down a little bit. You know,
came at
it like one step at a time.
They are extremists, yeah.
Because PETA's jumping right into it saying, fucking don't do anything to animals ever. In fact, we should probably just pretend there aren't any animals.
Pretty much, leave
them alone. Just pretend animals don't exist.
And the whole insect thing. What the fuck? Obama swats a fly and they're all over that? Go fuck yourself.
I wonder, it's a fly.
It's an insect.
I wonder where PETA draws the line. Like, where does PETA draw the line? Like,
yeah.
I guess these aren't animals, but like, are you allowed to like take medication to kill viruses and bacteria and stuff? Like, where is the line that you're allowed to kill these?
Are they going to ban Lysol?
Like,
don't kill the flu virus. It's a living thing.
Are you allowed to smack a mosquito that's sucking your blood, or are you supposed to gently like pull its sucker out of your skin
and then let it go and hope it doesn't come back? What
if a bee stings you? Are you like in trouble because the bee just committed suicide on you? You shouldn't have been walking so close to that bee because you forced him into suicide.
Yeah. if PETA had a town and you lived in it and and a bee stung you, they'd kick you out.
Oh man, PETA's too much.
What have you done to this bee? It killed itself on you. You got too close to them.
It's fucking bullshit.
And of course, they have a lot of celebrity support. But that doesn't really count for anything in my mind, because so does Scientology. Like, yeah. Like fucking half of Hollywood is a Scientologist.
Oh, crazy ass.
It doesn't lend them any credibility. And a lot of people that I like, I really like Beck, you know, the musician Beck.
Yeah.
He's a Scientologist.
Yeah.
I kind of like Tom Cruise, like, as an actor.
I do too, yeah.
But he's super douche Scientologist number one.
Fucking Will Smith.
Yeah, Will Smith, I guess. Is he officially a Scientologist? Because I know for a while he was denying it, but he was hanging out with Scientologists all the time.
I just knew he was at some point. I don't know about the denial part.
He was denying it for a long time, but I think now he's finally admitted it, maybe. I can't remember. I don't keep track of all the Scientologists.
Yeah, yeah.
I did see an image the other day on the internet that was like a bunch of constellations, and the stars in the constellations were movie stars and celebrities,
yeah.
And the constellations were Scientologist constellations. It was a joke, but like all these people on this image were all Scientologists, and some of them I was surprised by. Like I think Jason Lee, like the guy from My Name Is Earl, he was on there.
Man, goddamn,
Giovanni Ribisi.
No shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
He's a Scientologist.
I love that guy.
Yeah. I wonder if there's some secret thing to it that I don't
I really get. Think there is.
Because, like, I can't imagine all of these people are so fucked up in the head that they believe this shit. I wonder if it's like some sort of secret joke between all of them.
I always think about that too. Like, well, maybe like on a lower level, they're recruiting for money. But once you get to that upper level where the celebs are, it's just like a huge orgy party. It's gotta be. There's gotta be some catch.
Have you ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut?
I haven't.
Oh, man. The whole thing, like, well, not the whole thing, but a lot of it, like, has to do with the secret society that has these big orgy parties.
No shit.
I imagine that's what's... And it stars Tom Cruise.
Maybe that's why he joined. He was like, man, that was a good movie.
Except that the big orgy idea. Parties are the bad guys in the movie.
Oh,
so,
they are? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta watch that movie.
Yeah. Well, now what? Should we play that Perez Hilton thing? It's kind of long, but...
Fuck yeah. It's hilarious.
Okay, so Perez Hilton, if you don't know who Perez Hilton is, he's a blogger. He blogs about celebrity gossip.
Yeah, Kyle
talks
doesn't
shit
have
about
a
celebrities.
Speech impediment. Perez Hilton.
Oh, I'm like, Kyle doesn't have a... What are you talking about?
Speech impediment.
Yeah, Perez Hilton. He took his name from... the last name Hilton comes from Paris Hilton. I don't remember where Perez comes from, because who gives a fuck? But he made it up. It's not his real name. But he was... at the Much Music Awards or something in Canada. And I guess Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas came up to him and was like, why are you talking shit? And he's like, because I'm gay. And and then Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas came up to him and was like, you need to stop talking about my band. And I don't know, all this bullshit happened. But then Will.i.am's manager punched him in the face.
Yeah, the clip is long, but it is so fucking funny.
The only other important part is that the reason he got punched in the face was because he told Will.i.am, you're not a fucking artist, you're a fucking faggot. Which is especially funny to me because Perez Hilton is openly gay.
Oh, so gay.
But, okay, well, here's the Perez Hilton response clip.
Hey, everyone, it is Perez, and I am making this video as Mario Lavandeira. That is my legal name. What happened to me in Toronto happened to me as a human being, and it should not happen to anyone. Violence is never the answer. Ever. No matter what anyone says, blood should never be drawn. Another person should never be hit. That's why people die.
That's why people die, I guess. I kind of agree with him in principle, you know, like violence isn't the answer, blah, blah, blah.
You shouldn't go around hitting people. Yeah.
But this video is fucking ridiculous. And he acts like he's so fucking shocked. Like, all I did was get up in his face and call him a faggot.
Well, no shit, dipshit.
He's such a fucking pussy. Like, okay,
yeah, he is.
Maybe you shouldn't have gotten punched in the face, but fucking suck it up. Now you're just making yourself look stupid.
Yeah. It's one little fucking hit in the face.
Well, according to him, it was more like three, but anyway.
All right.
So, I came to Toronto for the Much Music Video Awards, where I was a presenter. Saturday night, I went to the dress rehearsals with Lady Gaga. The Black Eyed Peas were also rehearsing on Saturday night. Fergie saw me and came up to me, and she said, hey, why are you being mean? Why are you being angry? I thought we were cool. And I told her, I'm not angry at you. and the new single has grown on me. I was being honest, and I was letting her have her moment. I'm a big boy. I dish it. I can take it.
Not in the face, apparently. I was letting her have her moment. Like, what a fucking big man. Well, thank you for letting me have my moment.
Yeah.
You fucking douche.
I will let people have their moment. You know, I know that I say things that can really upset people. That's never a reason to hit someone. I've been doing this for 5 years now, and nothing like this has ever happened to me. I've had people scream at me. I've had people write nasty things on other blogs. I've had people sue me. But I've never had someone attack me like this. It's wrong, and I'm not going to stand for it. And Will.i.am made a video, and he lied. Will.i.am is a coward and a disgusting human being for lying.
Are you trying to get punched in the face again? What are you doing?
He sure is. God damn.
I know talking shit is what got me punched in the face the first time, but now I'm going to talk some more shit.
Yep.
All right.
And I'm making this video because I want to make it clear. I would never make up something like this. I would never lie about something so serious.
It's not that serious. He got punched in the face.
Who gives a shit?
It's not like they fucking hung you from the back of their truck and like drove around town. They punched you in the face.
That's pretty serious.
It happens all the fucking time. People get in bar fights and somebody gets punched in the face. I'm not saying it's right, but
yeah,
it's not
it
that big of a fucking deal. If you want to press charges, press charges. But like, it's not the end of the world.
I have 10 million plus people that visit my website every day. I don't need press. I don't need publicity. I don't need or want this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't deserve this. I like writing about other people's drama. I don't want drama in my own life.
I like writing about other people's drama. I like laughing at other people's shit. I don't want my own shit. Well, I like talking about you getting punched in the face, so so thanks.
So Sunday, yesterday, at the Much Music Awards, I was presenting and I did a skit with the Jonas Brothers. Before that happened, the Black Eyed Peas performed on the live show.
The Jonas Brothers has nothing to do with anything. He's just name-dropping now.
Yeah. Look how popular I am.
I was hanging out with Lady Gaga. Fergie talked to me. I did a skit with the Jonas Brothers. I was presenting, by the way.
I'm very big.
None of this has anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
One member of their entourage shouldered me. He passed by me. There was a lot of people walking. And he aggressively went like, you know, like a very macho, aggro thing. Later that night, as I was being interviewed, several media outlets asked me, Perez, was there any gossip from the awards show you can share? And I said, well, not much, although I did have one aggro moment from a member of the Black Eyed Peas' entourage who shouldered me and pushed me. But, you know, I brushed it aside. I never thought that something would escalate from that. After the awards were over, I went to an after party at Ultra.
Again, he's fucking name dropping. Like,
yep.
I went to the after party. I got into Ultra. It was fabulous.
I'm so big and huge.
I have 10 million people that visit my site every day. When?
Where once again, Fergie saw me and came up to me and said, hey, Perez, you know, man, I thought we were so cool. And I said to her, listen, you know, it's all silly. And I think I can be objective. And when you hit a home run, I will applaud you for that. And when you released your solo album, that was amazing. It was a great album. And I gave you props for that. And you deserved it.
When you do good, I'll let you know. The rest of the time, I'm going to talk about how you're a fugly bitch. It's just silly, you know? Like, I don't dislike you. I just like to talk shit about you when you're not around. But no, we're cool. Don't worry about it, baby doll.
Like, I can't believe people are getting this upset about me not liking their music or me saying Fergie's fugly or whatever. So then Will.i.am did this blog, and not only did he lie, but he said that Fergie came up to him and told him we have this thing and that she's like his sister and all that. Anyways, we left the club, Ultra, and...
Just so you know, it's Ultra, again, yeah. that we were at, because yeah. that's very exclusive, and I was in there, just so you know, I was invited to the after party with the celebrities. That's where I was.
Yeah,
just,
I was there.
Just in case you missed it.
Me.
The Black Eyed Peas stayed behind. We go to another after party for the Universal Music at this venue called Cobra.
I'm very popular. I had a lot of after parties to go to, but I could only make it to Ultra and Cobra. But, Jesus.
We were there for like an hour. We get ready to leave around 2:30 or 3 in the morning. And as we were actually getting ready to leave, Will.i.am from the Black Eyed Peas comes into the club, sees me like a heat-seeking missile, and comes directly towards me.
How do heat-seeking missiles see people? Sees me like a heat-seeking missile. So what are you calling yourself hot now?
I wouldn't be surprised. He's the shit.
By the way, I was at Ultra and Cobra, two after parties with celebrities. Don't forget.
And he says, yo, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to never write about my band on your website again. Right in my face, he was saying this very aggressively. I was not wanting or trying to antagonize him.
Well, not there, maybe on your website. I was not trying to have any kind of confrontation because I'm a pussy. I mean, I was going to talk shit about him later, but in his face, I was not trying to start any shit.
So I say, okay, I'll try. He's like, no, I need you to never write about my band on your website again. He's like this close to me and screaming. And I was like, listen, I can't make any promises, but I'll try. Then he says, why are you disrespecting me? Why are you disrespecting me? And I was like, I'm not disrespecting you. And I did the whole spiel again that I gave Fergie. But it was honest. I told him, listen, you know, I love what you did with the Pussycat Dolls. I love the work that you also did with Fergie's solo album. He's like, you need to respect me. And at that point, in my mind, I was like, you know what? I am not going to let this man intimidate me.
Here it comes. I was not disrespecting you. I don't disrespect you. I love the things that you do.
I love the things you did.
But then I said this.
Which he was clearly trying to do, and that was the reason he came seeking me out. I am not afraid of him. And I was saying that in my head.
I bet you're afraid of him now. I am not afraid of him. Or, you know, I wasn't, but then...
And I told him, you know what? No. I don't need to respect you. I don't respect you. And that's when I made the split-second decision that I was going to say what I thought was the worst possible thing that thug would ever want to hear. Because I was standing my ground without being violent or physical, which I would never do. I told him, and you know what? I don't need to respect you, and you're a fag. You're gay, and stop being such a faggot.
There it is. You're gay and stop being such a faggot. It's the worst thing I could think of to say to him. I don't know. You're gay and stop being a faggot. Okay. All right. We'll see where that goes.
And then I knew it was going to set him off. But I didn't want to get into a fight with this person. So I left. We leave. We leave the club, and as soon as we leave, there's Will.i.am again outside of the club. He followed us outside. Then his manager, Polo, whom I have met before, from behind comes up to me, clocks me in the eye right here, and punches me 2 or 3 times. I am in shock. I just did not know what to do. I touch my eye. And it was bleeding. I see my fingertips and I'm bleeding. I think my eye might be falling out of my head.
Okay, pussy. I think my eye might be falling out of my head. I think you would know if your eye was falling out of your head.
I'm exaggerating.
He punched me 2 or 3, 4, 5, I'm not even sure, times. How do you not know? Like, I got punched in the face. If it was only 2 or 3 times, you'd think you would know how many times it was. But I guess in all the gay confusion, he couldn't tell how many times he got punched in the eye. And he's like, he followed me outside of the club. I can't believe he didn't want to leave it at me calling him a faggot.
You fucking idiot.
I'm in shock. I'm carried away. Everyone's trying to avoid a scene. I'm thinking worst case scenario. I didn't know what was happening. I still am in shock. Nothing like this has ever happened before. It is unacceptable, and talk about unprofessional. I cannot wrap my brain, big or little as it may be, that a person who functions in the capacity of a manager, who's supposed to be a professional, would do something so unprofessional and illegal. And Will I Am, fuck you, because you fucking lied, you fucking motherfucker. You know very well, and I know very well, and God knows it was not a random fan that hit me. You said a random fan hit me in the video you made. You're a fucking liar. You think Fergie's happy with what happened? I hope not. I think Fergie's ashamed of you and Polo. You're shameful. You're disgusting. You are subhuman.
I am sure Fergie is laughing her ass off. You just had a discussion with Fergie about how, no, look, when you do something good, I'll let you know.
Yep.
But the rest of the time, I'm going to call you fugly on the internet for everybody to read, where 10 million people come every day. I'm going to make fun of you and call you a fugly bitch.
What did I do?
But yeah, I'm sure Fergie's jumping to your defense. Unprofessional. Well, they are black. I mean, what do you expect? But fucking unprofessional. When I called him a faggot, that was professional.
Yeah.
But when he punched me in the eye, that was too far.
And you know what, motherfucker? Will I Am, I would have had more respect for you if you hit me yourself. You're a coward. So after this happened, we leave and we go back to the hotel. And Will I Am followed us to the hotel, which is where they were also staying.
That's my favorite part. They followed us to the hotel where they were also staying. So you don't think maybe they were going back to their room? They followed us. They followed us to my car, which was parked right next to their car.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
I couldn't believe they followed us to the place where they were probably also going to go anyway.
At this point, I'm freaking out. Why did they just follow us outside of the club? I'm attacked. I'm bleeding. And they're following us back to the hotel. I'm thinking, oh my God, this person just hit me. What if something else happens? I was in shock. I didn't know what to do. I did what should be done when someone is assaulted and when you're in fear of your safety. I called the police. What? Even though Gaga had a bodyguard.
Just so you know, I was hanging out with Lady Gaga.
Yep.
Even though Gaga had a bodyguard. Oh, and we're close enough that I can just call her Gaga.
This
I don't have to
fucking guy.
Call her Lady Gaga.
Yeah. His ego is blown way out of proportion.
And he's famous for being a douche. Like, that's all he's famous for, is going online and talking shit.
Yeah.
He's just famous for being a douche. And he's so shocked that these people would come up to him and be angry.
What if one of these people had a gun and came and wanted to do something else?
What if these people had a gun? Yes, you're going to get murdered by Will I Am of the Black Eyed Peas.
He's
going to
blow his whole career on your ass and murder you. Right. Because you're worth it, right?
Because he called me a faggot. He didn't even punch you. Like, he's like, I would have respected you more if you punched me yourself. Well, do you think he went up to his manager and said, punch this asshole?
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. I'm Will I Am. Punch this asshole.
So I called 911. I spoke to the police, and they explained to me that, you know, they would try to make it, but that there were actual emergencies going on. But I was in fear for my safety.
The police are like, wait a minute, who is this again? Oh, Perez Hilton? Yeah, we have bigger shit to handle.
You whiny bitch.
You got punched in the eye? Okay, well, we'll see what we can do.
Yep.
And I had been assaulted. And if you are a victim of violence, speak out. because no one deserves that. Violence is never the answer. I could have told Will.i.am I hope he dies. I could have told him I hope Fergie sits on a stick and impales herself. I could have said anything I wanted. That was not an excuse for their manager to attack me. So when the police are taking their time and they're not coming, I'm freaking out. I took to Twitter.
Oh, man.
I'm freaking out, so I took to Twitter. What else was I supposed to do? I did what any sane person would do in this kind of situation where they're freaking out. I took to Twitter.
Go the fuck home.
I took to Twitter.
Oh, man.
I'd just been violently assaulted. I did what anybody would do. I took to Twitter.
Because I was in shock and I felt helpless. And that was my very public cry for help.
Help from who? In what? Like, help, I've been punched in the face. Twitter, Twitter, Twitter. What are you asking for? Somebody help me. I've been punched in the face. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Tweet.
Somebody help me. Tweet, I'm being raped. Tweet. Like, I'm... I don't even know. Like, I it's a very public cry for help. Tweet. Need help. Tweet. Been punched in the face. Tweet. They're following me to my hotel. Tweet.
And to all of those people who expressed concern and who called the police, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Because I am a human being and no one deserves to be treated that way.
Okay, so you called the police and they were like, oh, we got emergencies to deal with. And you're like, oh, that's cool. So then you go on Twitter. You have 10 million people that visit your website.
Yeah.
You go on Twitter and say, fuck, I need help. And you have all those people call the police. That sounds like a douchey thing to do. Like the police are suddenly flooded with Perez has been punched.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much for fucking up the police.
I wonder if anybody died that night because all the calls the were flooded with this calls. Twitter bullshit, all fans of this asshole.
Hey, 911, I was just on Twitter. Perez has been punched in the face.
Oh, man.
Violence is never the answer. And I would never make something like this up or try to use something like this for press.
I'd just make a 12-minute long video about it.
And you're crying. I'm so upset right
now. I'm crying. I got punched in the face.
Because I don't need it. And I don't need anything that happened. And fuck you, Will.i.am, for lying. Shame on you. God is looking down on you and shaming you. And you know what? I may not do something that makes everyone happy or proud, but I would never hurt someone like that, and I did not deserve what happened to me. Fuck you, you fucking coward. Fuck you both. I have lost all respect for all of you and the Black Eyed Peas and Fergie, your fugly bitch.
Oh, okay, so you just got done saying, I hope Fergie's ashamed of you. And I like Fergie kind of sometimes, but fuck you, you're fugly bitch. Has nothing to do with anything.
I gotta say, I'm a little more lenient towards gay bashing now.
Yeah. He's setting his people back. You know what? I was in support of gay marriage, but fuck gays. Nah, it's, what the fuck?
Oversensitive bullshit. Even if this was a woman, I'd hate that bitch.
Well, this is another one of those things where, like, I agree with him in principle. You know what? You shouldn't, like, just because you're offended by something somebody says,
yeah,
you shouldn't go around punching people. Violence isn't the answer most of the time, unless, like, it's reactive violence to violence towards you, you know, like if you're defending yourself.
Yeah.
Violence isn't the answer. I agree with that.
Well, don't call that guy a faggot.
Even at that, you know, he shouldn't have punched him. But I see this video, and I want to fucking punch him.
Oh, repeatedly. I want to do multiple things with this guy.
Violent things. You're not helping your case making this long, faggoty video about how upset you are and how famous you are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just boosting your ego and talking highly of yourself and how all this little simple shit is such a big fucking deal.
If I got punched in the face because of something I said on this show, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's cool. I deserve that. But I also wouldn't make, you know, on the next show, I wouldn't be like, I did not deserve this. I never could have seen this coming. I was hanging out with John Cusack.
At a big club.
At a big club. And even though John has bodyguards, I was still afraid for my safety. I don't know why I'd be hanging out with John Cusack. He's just the first celebrity that came to mind. But, you know, if I got punched in the face over something I said on the show, I wouldn't be like, well, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah. I'd own up to it.
I'd probably get it, you know. And like I said, I wouldn't feel like I deserved it. But I also wouldn't come on like a whiny little bitch like, I can't believe this happened. I'd probably talk about it. I'd be like, yeah, so.
Some asshole punched me in the face.
Some guy didn't like what I said about Jesus and punched me in the face.
Yeah, and it's not like he's not an asshole for punching you. He is, but. God damn, you're not going to go make a 9-10 minute video crying about it.
I don't know. Do you think we have time for that little segment we've been wanting to do?
Of course we do. Let's do it.
You think we should do it?
Let's do it.
Get ready for...
Writer, pedophile.
Yes.
Child molester.
Yes.
I just had a terrible thought. Horrible fan fiction of the week.
I find it very hard to put Nymphadora in character.
Shut the fuck up!
Alright, if you're not familiar with the concept of fan fiction, what it is basically is somebody takes like a book or a movie, a TV show, cartoons, whatever, something that they're a fan of, and then they write a new story with those same characters in that same universe. And it's not all horrible, but I mean, there's very little of it that's worth reading.
There's a wide spectrum of what it can be. It can be serious, it can be sexual, it can be funny, it can be ridiculous.
A lot of it's just fucking terrible, but some of it, there's a particular brand of fan fiction called slash fiction.
Yeah.
And I believe it's named that because it's like this character slash this character. Like if you were writing like a Lord of the Rings fan fiction, it'd be like Legolas slash Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah.
And that would be a story about them fucking.
Yeah.
And it's like I think it's always, or at least almost always, gay. Like, it's never, like, a dude and a chick. It's always two dudes or two chicks.
Yeah, all the ones I found were gay. Like, man-on-man action, so.
And we found one that I thought was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's called Enter Sandman by Saint Minority. And it's a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory fan fiction. And in the story notes, it said it's inspired by Metallica's Enter Sandman. So it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory fan fiction inspired by Metallica's Enter Sandman, which is ridiculous enough to begin with.
Yeah.
So do you want to trade back and forth and read this thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
You want me to start out?
Yeah, start it out.
All right. A lean flame appeared in the moonlight. It was pressed against the end of the thin device held between ruby lips. An inhale and the lighter was extinguished.
Willy Wonka lowered his eyelids to slits as he breathed deep the sweetness. He was enjoying one of his recent new inventions that he named a chocolate cigarette. With each intake, it gave off a new flavor onto the tongue, ranging from peppermint, dark chocolate, white chocolate, strawberry, almonds, and many other tastes. The smoke emitted from the end, and what was breathed in was not harmful in any way. It was to be used as a snack between meals. And not only was it a delicious treat, but Wonka also had the idea that it could help smokers seeking to kick their habit with tobacco. The product would be going on the market soon, and he predicted there would be a slight uproar from concerned parents. If they were forbidden by parents, he knew the kids would be smart and rebel. How could they deny a candy from the greatest candy maker in the world? There was nothing like being told not to do something, and do it anyway just to spite others. He knew that from experience.
Charlie Bucket watched his mentor from his bed. He gazed at the man with extreme admiration, veneration, and friendliness. Ever since his family had passed away in what was declared a freak accident in one of the factory rooms, Wonka had made sure that the boy rarely left his sight. Charlie tried to push the memory of his loved ones aside and grow accustomed to this new provider. He understood Wonka cared for him, but there was always some other emotion shielded behind the Candyman's eyes that at times unnerved Charlie. The innocence still contained within Charlie, however, always let it pass, and he never dwelled on the mysterious glint for too long.
The bright beams of the moon were the only illumination in the dark. Wonka stared out the window he sat next to and took a lengthy drag from his cigarette. When he exhaled, a very brown-colored smoke came out from his mouth, filling the area around him with the scent of caramel. Charlie loved observing the chocolatier when he smoked each night in his bedroom. It had become a tradition for Wonka to occupy the lad's room for varying periods of time before Charlie fell asleep. It was a comfort to the young child to have him near, occasionally reciting stories and say goodnight.
"Did I ever tell you about the Sandman, Charlie?" Wonka asked quietly, brown wisps escaping through his lips as he talked. Charlie smiled, and although Wonka had told him the story, he humored the eccentric chocolatier's lack of a good memory and replied, "No, you haven't." Wonka's eyes shifted from looking upon the outside world to Charlie's angelic face. "I haven't? Well, I guess it's story time, isn't it?"
Charlie giggled from the enthusiasm in the man's voice. Wonka turned himself completely around and leaned back against the glass of the window. A long inhale, followed by a long release of the breath, Wonka appeared to be gathering the tale in his head. Charlie always thought he looked calmer and subdued when he had a chocolate cigarette.
"The Sandman," Wonka started, "is someone who brings dreams to all little girls and little boys. He comes into your room at night and pinches a bit of chocolate dust between his fingers from the small bag at his waist," and Wonka got up, puffing still on his treat, and moved to sit in front of Charlie on the bed. "He sprinkles the dust onto your closed eyes." Wonka rubbed his forefinger and thumb together above Charlie's face to demonstrate. Charlie shut his eyes to play along. "And sings the words, exit light, enter night, take my hand, we're off to Never Never Land." So that's where the Enter Sandman bit starts to creep in. The Metallica lyrics.
How can you read that and not think of Metallica?
Yeah. Willy Wonka, exit light, enter night. And the whole fucking beginning of the story with the whole bit about chocolate cigarettes, like...
And so, yeah, they're so smooth. It's and how so weird, Charlie like, loved the smell.
There's
yeah.
this whole, like, subtext or, like sub-story about chocolate cigarettes and how parents are going to be outraged. It's fucking weird. Anyway.
Charlie reopened his eyes and waited expectantly for Wonka to continue. "The dust and words are most important. Together they wake up the dreams and stimulate the body in unknown ways. Sort of like chocolate. Of course, the dreams aren't always good ones. It depends on if he's feeling generous or not. Indeed, he can get a bit mischievous." Wonka grinned madly, his lilac orbs tainted with a glint of excitement. "But Mr. Wonka, the dreams can't be too terrible, can they?" "Oh, my dear boy, of course they can. The imagination is a very vivid tool that can conjure up all sorts of images. The Sandman controls these aspects at night. You'll know if you caught him on a good round. You'll be rewarded with good dreams. If you have nightmares, you can be quite sure he was feeling icky or just wanted to have a bit of fun."
And the Sandman is kind of a dick. "I'm having a bad day, so you're going to have a nightmare." Yeah. "Sorry, kid." Story.
It reminds me of like a hairy old guy with a cigar. Like, "I'm having a bad day. Fuck you."
The story starts out a little bit slow, but I can guarantee it gets better.
Oh, yeah. All
right. Charlie breathed deep the pleasant smell of the smoke as Wonka expelled it from his O-shaped lips. "What does the dust do?" he inquired politely. "Huh?" Wonka obviously had not heard the question. "Why? What the fuck? Why does that need to be in there?" Like, could you imagine stories if like all every moment like that was in the story?
Yeah.
Like, "Hey, what did the dust do?" "What? What did the dust do?" "Oh, why does that need to be in there?" Anyway.
Stupid.
"Huh?" Wonka obviously had not heard the question. "The chocolate dust, what does it do?" Oh, shit. It doesn't say that, but... "Oh, it makes it so that you take off in a tremendously deep sleep. You won't wake up from anything. Your dreams will seem so real." His white teeth sparkled in the light as he smiled broadly for a second. "Now then, you should be getting ready to sleep." It's your turn, but... His white teeth sparkled in the light. For somebody who eats nothing but candy...
And smokes.
And smokes. Yeah, to have white teeth is remarkable. He must be...
He seems to be smoking a lot of his product. Yeah.
He must be kind of like OCD and just brush his teeth constantly. Yeah.
I mean, he can smoke and have white teeth, but if you, he seems like he smokes a pack a day of his bullshit.
Anyway.
But anyway. He stood, held his cigarette securely between his lips, and began packing the covers around and underneath Charlie firmly in order to hold him in tightly. "Why so snug?" Charlie asked gently. "As they say, tuck you in warm within. Keep you safe from sin till the Sandman he comes."
Tuck you in, warm within, keep you safe from sin, till the Sandman comes. Yeah!
Fucking Willy Wonka.
This guy right now, he's just listening.
What a weird combination of interests.
What was this guy doing? Yeah, he's listening to Metallica, probably.
And that made him think of Willy Wonka?
And he's watching, like, kiddie porn. I don't know.
I've got an idea for a story.
All right. Wonka finished, grasped his treat between his fingers, and kissed the boy softly on the forehead. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
He brushed his latex-gloved hand against the spot a few times and whispered, "Good night, Charlie." Charlie giggled from the warmness of the smoke tickled against his skin. "Good night, Mr. Wonka."
Wonka stepped to the doorway and retrieved his top hat and cane. He was about to leave, but stopped and turned back to Charlie.
"Don't forget. Say your prayers, little one. Don't forget to include everyone." "I won't," Charlie replied with a smile. Wonka said that to him every night. K. K.
Like, so innocent.
All right, K.
K. You want to fuck me?
All right. Wonka, excited, closing the door behind him.
Exited.
Well, I'm getting excited. Wonka exited, closing the door behind him. He paused for a moment, mind racing and heart beginning to beat quicker. Oh, God.
Here it comes.
A quiet, amusing sound came from him. And he headed towards his quarters.
Heavy thoughts to begin the night. So now we're on to part two.
Ooh, it's building up. Ooh. There was no indication to provide the information that anyone was in the room with the boy except for a wispy brown smoke that seeped from the far end corner of the area. It filled the space with the scent of sweetened almonds and pecans.
With expert agility, Willy Wonka left the corner and crept to the bed without making a sound. His garb was entirely black, matching the darkness of the room fittingly. Is he a fucking ninja now?
That's creepy.
The shirt he wore had a plunging neckline that went to just above his navel.
Oh. Okay.
This is my rape suit. The sleeves were like wings that hung beneath outstretched arms, marvelously flowing to provide a state of elegance to the man that wore it. His slacks were silk and a bit large around his legs, bell bottoms. His feet were bare. And his hands were clad in black gloves.
Moonlight showered through the window. It cascaded stunningly into the room and illuminated the sleeping child on the bed. Wonka's lilac eyes glowed in the light. He pinched his fingers together and glittery dust sprinkled down onto Charlie's closed eyelids. As he did, he sang intensely, quietly, the words,
"Exit light! Enter night, take my hand, rock to never, never land." Yeah, yeah.
Though quietly. Yeah.
Yeah, intensely quietly. What does intensely quietly mean? Like, silently?
Like, non-existent?
He took Charlie's hand in his and watched the lad eagerly with anticipation. The change was made very subtle, but Wonka caught it. Charlie's features relaxed ever so slightly, causing the chocolatier to know that his young heir had slipped away into a much deeper sleep. What is this, like, is he sprinkling him with GHB? Like, yeah. Sprinkling him with roofies?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay, well, anyway.
Oh, God. Wonka pulled the covers back and sat beside the boy. He guided the boy's petite hand to his cheek, then to his lips to kiss it.
Here we go.
A finger inserted itself into his mouth. Wonka sucked it and flicked his tongue at it. He wanted a taste of Charlie's pure, untouched virgin skin. I can't do this.
Yeah. Here we go. It's time to get uncomfortable. Wonka situated himself to lie on Charlie before snapping his fingers. His body rose up to hover a bit above the child. He was a magician, after all. Is he?
I don't know.
He had mastered the unexplained art of levitation. Scarlet lips found their way to Charlie's face. They traced along the lad's jawline with delicate attention. The feel of the soft flesh shot tingles through Wonka. His mouth discovered Charlie's, and he kissed his heir with deep affection, want, and insatiable hunger.
Insatiable hunger.
I can't fucking get enough little boy.
God.
This is, oh, I feel like the FBI is going to come by just for me reading this.
Well, we can't stop now. We've already started. It's just getting good, Orion.
Charlie made a noise, music to the mentor's ears. Wonka grinned madly. He caressed Charlie's face with his fingertips before lowering himself to sit on the bed. He lifted the little being up and rested the boy against him. He took off the lad's shirt slowly. Fingertips ran along Charlie's back. Wonka rubbed his face and... Goddamn. Wonka rubbed his face in the youngster's hair and breathed deeply.
Willy,
Charlie whispered innocently, but with a hint of enjoyment. Just to be sure that you know that this isn't rape.
He's enjoying it.
Yeah.
He's having a good time. But it's consensual.
Right.
Wonka was taken aback for a brief moment. His mind quickly mended itself as he pondered, how could he have so easily forgotten the fact? Even though Charlie was asleep, he could nonetheless feel the actions performed on him and see what was taking place in his dream as if he was wide awake.
Wonka lay Charlie's heavy, dormant form down with gentle care. He wanted to continue his exploration. Calmly, he removed Charlie's pants and underwear.
Calmly?
No shit. Laid out before him, exuding perfection, righteousness, and simplicity, was little Charlie Bucket in utter nakedness.
Oh, keep you free from sin, Wonka muttered, till the Sandman he comes.
Keep you free from sin, except gay pedophilia.
Excluded.
Oh, man. His mouth demanded a real tasting.
Oh, yeah.
Inspiration, some called it. This is how he gets his inspiration for his candy from molesting young boys. Inspiration, some called it, as he sought out creativeness for some new candies using the boy's body. Time for Charlie Bucket flavored lollipops.
Moving down Charlie's form, he situated himself between the small legs of the boy and drew his air's full length into his oral cavity. Oh, God.
Here we go.
Mm.
Now it's getting hot.
Oh. A flexible tongue wrapped around the body part to lick before Wonka proceeded to suck
Suck fervently.
Now I'm trying to say perv. God. Freud has got me, man.
Suck fervently.
The sensation was astonishing to the chocolatier. He did not expect to feel so unbelievably fantastic as he committed the act.
Well, how did he expect to feel? I don't know how good this is going to feel, but I'll give it a shot.
I did all this shit for what? Apparently, he was not the only one to take satisfaction from it. Charlie emitted a breathy whimper and continued to do so with increasingly loudness. Wonka glanced up at the lad's face. It was contorted into an expression of immense pleasure and stress as he became firm with his caretaker's mouth. God. Wonka closed his eyes and started to moan quietly with the child. Oh, dude. He could not help grinning wickedly as he heard his name escape Charlie's lips several times. A low groan came from his own when thin fingers buried themselves in his chestnut hair. He was becoming hard himself from the whole situation.
It's hard not to become hard from that situation.
Oh, man. I'm hard. Shit.
Charlie's little hips bucked a couple of times before finally he succumbed and ejaculated into Wonka's throat.
Oh.
Wonka swallowed every drop he could and licked around the tip to get any that he missed. To his content surprise, the boy tasted sweet and flavorful.
Mm.
That had obviously been due to living in the factory. Otherwise, Wonka knew from personal experience that the fluid would have tasted salty and not very good at all.
What does that mean?
It means he sucked a lot of dick.
Yeah, god damn. He pulled away and gazed down at Charlie's easing features. He brushed the youngster's hair back and kissed him passionately. Charlie's hands went blindly beneath Wonka's shirt and traveled up the Candyman's abdomen to his chest and then to his back. Wonka's moan evaporated in Charlie's mouth. The little boy clung to him and tempted Wonka to go farther with the whole thing, but he resisted the strong urge. He at last came away from Charlie and rested beside him. Charlie squirmed, wanting to be touched again. Each of them was breathing rather heavily.
Just as so you understand, he was liking it.
Yeah.
Not rape.
Not rape. No homo.
No homo. Wonka was still quite erect. Before tending to his needs, he lit a chocolate cigarette and puffed it a few times, expelling the smoke from between his smooth lips. He then inched one hand beneath his clothing and went to work. His neck arched as he fondled and groped his own manhood. His heart rate sped. His arousal was engorged and began to leak. Who is this? I mean, even if this was a two consenting adults and it was like a consensual sex story.
Yeah.
Who is turned on by his arousal was engorged and began to leak?
Virgins.
Like, leak is not sexy. I'm sorry. It just isn't.
It's like...
Yeah. He took quicker drags from the cigarette as his climax neared. Sounds erupted from him. Charlie listened in his sleep, his own breath growing ragged with Wonka's.
With a yell and shudder, Wonka spilled his seed freely. His chest heaved, and he smoked his lit treat intimately to sedate himself. He stared up at the ceiling, taking turns exhaling the smoke from his mouth and nose. The moonlight bathed him ethereally.
Trembling, he got up and covered Charlie with the sheets. He tucked him in tightly and whispered, "Hush, little baby, don't say a word.
Hush, little baby, don't say a word. And never mind that noise you heard. It's just the beast beneath your bed fucking you in the ass while you sleep."
It actually ended at "never mind that noise you heard," but yeah, fucking creepy pedo.
He departed like a feared black cat, and with an abundant amount of new ideas for candies floating in his head. The only trace he left of his presence was the delicious fragrance of melted chocolate and cinnamon.
Semen. Charlie scampered into Wonka's bed and forced his way into the man's arms. Wonka uttered something before opening his eyes. Charlie was fully clothed and clearly shaken.
"What time is it?" Wonka grumbled.
4:30, Charlie said in a slightly quivering voice. "I had a dream, Mr. Wonka."
"Oh, really?" Wonka was inwardly amused. "Was it a nightmare? Dream of war?"
No. It just says no.
"No."
"Dream of liars?"
"No."
"Dream of dragon's fire?"
"No, sir."
But it wasn't of Snow White?"
"No."
"Then what was it?"
"It was about you."
He was undoubtedly embarrassed.
Wonka smiled and his teeth glinted dangerously, yet charmingly. "What happened in this dream?"
I don't want to say. You'll think I'm weird.
"Of course not, Charlie. That's poppycock."
Poppycock. Charlie fidgeted and avoided Wonka's eyes.
"You were touching me."
How?
The child motioned with his hands.
Down there. And you kissed me, and I liked it.
Wonka's smile broadened. "I see.
You don't think it's gross, do you?"
"It's completely natural. Everyone has those kinds of dreams."
"Really?"
"Really. Cross my heart. You must have been extra nice these past few days to have the Sandman give you a dream like that. He seems to be a bit naughty as of late."
"Is the Sandman real?"
"Of course he's real. How else do you experience dreams?"
"Do you know the Sandman, Mr. Wonka?"
"As a matter of fact, I do. But he likes to keep a very low profile. You'll just have to keep up the good behavior and have him come again."
"I will." Charlie hesitated before he asked, "Can I stay the rest of the night here?"
"Of course you can."
Charlie moved to rest on his side as soon as Wonka finished the phrase, "sleep with one eye open." He was dreaming once more.
Wonka, however, would not get any sleep that night. He lit another cigarette and giggled.
"We're off to Neverland."
The end.
That's the end of the story.
That was the sickest shit I've ever heard.
This shit is all over the internet. Like, if you can dream it up, somebody's fucking written it.
Yeah. And somebody's getting off on it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, somebody's reading this with, like, one hand on the keyboard or the mouse and one hand on their dick going, "Oh, yeah. What else did he do to Charlie?"
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine. Like, first of all, I can't imagine what inspired this. Like, I mean, I guess if you're a pedophile, like, maybe you'd be inspired to write a story about fucking little kids. But,
yeah,
like, specifically, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory combined with Metallica's Enter Sandman.
That's fucked up, man.
I wasn't looking for this specifically when I found it. I was looking for horrible fan fiction.
Yeah, this just happened to be
But this was
really
like at the
good.
Top of the site. Like,
it was really good.
And it was relatively short. I know it probably seemed to drag on, but They get much longer, believe me. They're fucking novel-sized stories like this.
Yeah, yeah. Page after page, chapter after chapter.
And the funny thing is, I mean, I support, like, if you want to write stories, I don't support it, but if you want to write stories about fucking little boys, like, as long as you're not actually fucking little boys, you can do whatever you want. But, like, to have the balls to write a story about fucking little boys and put it out on the internet for everyone to read is just insane to me. Like,
you
guys get it, right? Fucking little boys?
People that do, yeah. And I guess in some sick way, you know, it's a freedom. You should have the right to do whatever you want in your own private little fantasy world as long as you don't act on it. But goddamn.
And
don't expect me to agree with what you're saying.
The story even is, like, even though Charlie enjoyed it, the story even is kind of sinister. Like, he doesn't, like, say, hey, Charlie, you want to fuck? Or he comes in the middle of the night when he's sleeping and, like, drugs him and sucks his dick.
Sucks his dick.
And then convinces him that it was, like a present, this dream that he had.
Yeah, it was a good thing. And he should hope that it happens again.
I will. Man.
Oh, my God.
Now I feel dirty. Like, I thought it would be funnier than it was, but now I just feel kind of filthy.
I feel the same way. Like, every teacher I've had that's hot in my, you know, school life, I've always masturbated to. Every one of them. And I always felt really dirty because I had to see them, like, the next day.
Oh, well, yeah. That doesn't bother me, but.
But I'm always like, you know, I see them and I'm like, God, I fucking masturbated to them last night. What the fuck is wrong with me? I mean, this is much worse, but.
Yeah, this is. I don't even think the two are really related aside from the fact that they're both.
What am I saying here? They're not even on the same, like, spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's the end of the show. I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah, if you made it this far, thank you for listening.
If you got a boner during that story, wow. call into the show because I want an explanation of that.
That'd be awesome, man.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, send us a voicemail. Kyle at IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
Or Orion at IJustHadATerribleThought.com.
Did I say email or voicemail? Leave us a voicemail, 616-328-5581.
That's 616-328-5581.
Check out the Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Order some stickers. I'm a little.
I need to take a shower.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, the little intro thing is like horrible fan fiction of the week, but I don't know if I can do that again.
Yeah, that might have been a one-time deal.
Yeah. Horrible fan fiction of this week. All right. That's it.
That should do it.
Peace out, niggas.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll check you next week.